That's who Oliver is. He inspires me to be more loving, more giving, and more inclusive with everyone around me.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This episode is being sponsored by SaveTheChildren.org. Save the Children believes that every child deserves a future. In the United States and around the world, they work every day to give children a healthy start in life, the opportunity to learn, and protection from harm. Right now, the coronavirus is the biggest global health crisis of our lifetime and threatens children in every way. COVID-19 has already left many children without caregivers, out of school, and exposed to violence and exploitation. Child poverty is rising. With your support, you can help children in unsafe households and help social distance learning in the face of school closures. Here are some ways you can support and make a difference. Healthy meals. $5 can provide a nutritious breakfast and a lunch for a child who usually relies on school for food. $15 can provide a precious book and STEM learning loss for those out-of-school children in need. $50 can serve 10 hungry out-of-school children with a nutritious breakfast and lunch. For more ways on how you can help the children, go to savethechildren.org/savekids. That's savethechildren.org/savekids.
Hey everybody, Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast online. I'm very happy to have Jay August Richards. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me. Jay, how you doing, sir?
Thank you, Art. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, man. Big fan of the show Council of Dads. And before we kind of started recording this episode, I mentioned that I had the privilege of chatting with other cast members on this show. And I feel like for everyone that I've talked to, there's something special about this show that brings them in and they're so happy to be on this project. For you, I read your heartfelt Instagram post just in regards to about like you were thinking about quitting acting, you were thinking about like, I'm done, this is it. And then you read the script and you saw that the show was about love. There was like this whole theme, underlying theme of love. And I'm so happy to hear that your story and the opportunity and what this opportunity means to you. Can you talk to my audience a bit more of your experience in regards to auditioning for the show, reading for the script, thinking like, yeah, I'm done with acting, because I think this is a story in itself, sir.
Yeah, well, I'll preface the story by saying that a couple of things give me comfort. One, that Laurence Olivier in his autobiography said that as he got older as an actor, he got more and more nervous. So I take some comfort in that. Also, I learned that Nicole Kidman and Judi Dench, I don't know if Nicole Kidman does it anymore, but they always quit the production the night before it begins because of nerves and anxiety. So I'll preface the story with that. So, yeah, as I wrote on Instagram, the morning of my audition for Council of Dads, when I was walking up to the building, I got hit with so much panic and anxiety. Now, that's kind of usual for me, but not lately. It's kind of subsided a bit. I do always get really nervous before I'm acting, but this was something different. And I probably attribute it to how much I wanted it. I think I've learned how to lie to myself and convince myself that I'm okay whether I don't get a part or not. But I think that I was so bonded to this script and I consciously wouldn't allow myself to fall in love with it, but I was. So as I was walking into the building, I was hit with so much dread and panic that I literally opened the door and I was kind of like, I cannot do this to myself anymore. This is too painful. It's too hard. Like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. So I literally started thinking, okay, this is easy. I can just sell my house and I'll go into teaching because I love teaching and my mom was a teacher. And so I'll just do that. Fortunately, I didn't have to go right away. There were a few people before me. So I just had the opportunity to just kind of sit there in the waiting room. And I just started talking myself, down. And I said, okay, this script is exclusively about love. And if I can find a way to love the person that I'm reading the scene with, because the scene was between Robin and I was in the scene in the audition. I was operating on her husband, that I realized that everything was going to be okay. And I was basically communicating that to her. And I thought, if I can really love the person that I'm going to read with, because it wasn't Sarah, it was the casting director, then people will feel it. The producers will feel it. But I got to really love her. And so fortunately, the casting director is an amazing person with a really beautiful spirit and energy. And I thought about her nieces and nephews and her parents and, you know, her partner and her friends. And I thought about how much light she must bring into their lives. Mm. And I just felt protective over her and protective over the people in her life who love her. And I really felt that way. And like I said in the post, a week later, I had the part.
Phenomenal story, Jay. And I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, one of the things that caught my eye about that story while I was, you know, prepping up for chatting with you, sir, was you mentioned that you thought, like, you know what, I'm going to go become a teacher. You know, my mom was a teacher. Why don't I do that? In essence, you kind of are a teacher on this role, in this role, because you're trying to help out Scott Perry's kids with, like, learning life lessons and being a teacher. Part of being a parent is teaching them what you've learned, what you failed at, and trying to teach them the essence of humanity and being a good human being, right? So I'm guessing you saw the parallels of what you were thinking about going to if you were going to leave the acting profession, right?
For sure. And for me, okay, in acting, or at least the way that I approach it, your character has to have a super objective, which is the thing that they are trying to achieve that is so important to them, what they need or what they want. And what Oliver needs is to be a great father, not only to his kids, but to the kids in his life. And so at the top of the season, I made a list of all of the things that I thought a great father was. And I realized that you can be standing in a room in silence and be a great father at the same time. Merely your presence is enough in some circumstances. Then you want to provide as well, and you want to create a space for a child to be able to be themselves and to be safe. And I made like a list of just like 1,000 ways that I could achieve that super objective. So in certain scenes, it might seem like I don't have much to do, but I'm doing everything at the same time. So yeah, I thought about that a lot. So being a teacher is also one of those things. And after I made that post, though, I was amazed at how many people hit me up and said, Jay, you are my teacher. So I am a teacher.
That's fantastic, man. Again, thanks for sharing that story, because I think it just interweaves with the Council of Dads. And the first episode aired earlier this week, and I saw you and your colleagues were great with tweeting during the show, being part of, like, connecting with the audience and that. A couple of things. One, how do you feel about the audience's reaction so far? I mean, the guys that I, like I said, you know, I've been talking to a bunch of dad groups and, like, sharing, you know, the idea of the story. And when I saw the pilot, I was like, guys, you're going to love this show. But what was your initial reaction from the fans' reaction, the audience reaction from the first episode?
I was genuinely blown away. And, you know, I've done a few series now, and Twitter does not hold back. They say it like they mean it. You know, I did the dangerous thing of searching the hashtag. And of course, there were some people who, a very small amount compared to, you know, many of the shows that I've done, who had a negative reaction. But it seems like anybody who made it to the end to watch the whole thing was moved by it. And they talked about being moved from a sense of joy and from a sense of loss. And they really fell into the family. So I was completely blown away. And one tweet really moved me. A young lady hit me up and said, I love you. I love your acting. And, you know, I support you in everything you do, but I cannot do this. You know, I just lost my father to cancer, and I just can't. And I said, I respect that so much. Do not put yourself through it. If you are not ready and you can't, please turn the channel. You know, you don't have to do this. But she did. She went through the whole thing. She goes, all right, well, this will be my place. This will be my place where I work through this. And I was just floored by that.
Man, I mean, again, like, everyone takes in art and media in different ways, right? But for you to hear that feedback for someone that may not think that they need that right now, but that could be something where it's, and I'm kind of getting goosebumps because I lost my mom to cancer a few years back, and there are certain things where you, when I was watching this show, and I'm just like, yep, like I could see my mom trying to do something along these lines as well. And obviously, as being a grown man, my mom wasn't in Scott Perry's role where the kids were still like in school.
Yeah,
you never stop being a parent, but it was a point where she's like, all right, you know, I know that he'll be fine. He's got kids of his own and all that. But I think that things come to you in a certain point in time for a reason. And I think the show is definitely needed right now just to show more love and more compassion. And I know, like I said, you had that interaction with that one lady on Twitter, and it kind of like, all right, this is, you know, this is a good, the show serves its purpose. Everyone takes in different messages and all that. But for you, what do you hope people will take away from this series while they're watching it?
First of all, let me say my condolences regarding your mother.
Thank you.
I lost my mother at 23 as well. And like you said, you never stop being a parent. And so I feel you. I feel you on that. I hope people take away from the show, with everything that's going on in the world right now, I'm the most floored by this sense of community that has popped up in a way that I've never experienced it. And in ways that I'm guilty of, like I joined my neighborhood app. And it's great to know what's going on in my neighborhood, things that people need and such. When the supermarkets first shut down, I could not find an onion to save my life. And I happened to mention it to someone. It showed up at my door with an onion. That same person happened to mention to me that they couldn't find any ground beef. When I went to the grocery store, they had restocked, and I bought some ground beef for that person. Yes. The sense of community that has popped up in the world right now that I'm feeling, even in my friend groups, our group chats, our threads, that's what I hope that people take from the show. How it is just so possible to be there, show up for the people in your life in a full way. How we really could just be there for one another and make life easier for one another instead of us all being on these individual journeys where everything is on our own back. I hope that it inspires a sense of community, and I just hope that people love the people in their lives just a little bit more.
Well said, sir. And especially when you were saying that, I thought about the ending of the first episode and just that the gathering of the wedding and just the happiness and the love coming through. So, and that sense of community of people coming together. So I hope you're right on that, man. I think this show, like I said, is definitely well needed in this time. You mentioned in regards to prepping up for this, you started like thinking mentally and writing down notes about like what you would put into, you know, if you were this in real life. So I got to ask you, besides kind of get that, those mental notes in order to be there on the Council of Dads, what other attributes in your character, Dr. Oliver Post, share with you in real life?
Wow. Well, so many. At first when I got the role, I thought, wow, this role is so me. But then I realized it's actually the me that I want to be. I feel like Oliver is like almost like a higher self calling me towards him. The size of this man's heart inspiring to me. I always know I'm in a flow with the character when I feel like I can sort of feel their spirit near me, but it's not me. And so that's who he is to me. I also recognize with Oliver that someone with that capacity to include others and that many people into their heart a lot of times comes from a painful past. Sometimes, you know, tragedy inspires greatness in a lot of cases. And that is the case with Oliver, as we'll come to discover over the season. He grew up as a child in a household with a father that, if he became, it would be his worst nightmare. His father did not create a space for him where he was loved for exactly who he was. And he spent his entire childhood with a secret, knowing that if others knew, they would not accept him. And the pain of living that prolonged existence for 18 years and beyond is what makes Oliver's heart crack wide open, because he doesn't want anyone in his sphere to feel that way. And he wants to create a space for himself where he feels safe and he feels loved for entirely who he is. So that's who Oliver is. He inspires me to be more loving, more giving, and more inclusive with everyone around me.
Oh, man, I love it. Thanks so much for sharing this character. And again, like, Council of Dads is just, is like my new show. Like, I mean, I know there's so many different things out there that people can, you know, get just with all the different forms of media. But like this show, and trust me, you got a big fan here, and I'm definitely promoting it around. Couple more.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you.
You bet, sir.
We feel so strongly about it. So it just makes me, and I'm sure everybody on our show, so happy when somebody is as passionate about it as we are.
I think, again, I appreciate you saying that, but also, like, I think from social media and just, like, everybody in the cast of the show, like, you see how much care and love and thought, like, I mean, I've had the privilege of talking with you and other great guys on the show, and it's like, yes, you all get it. You understand, like, the idea of what this show is about, and the people who I haven't talked to, all the different other cast members are pouring love and just showing, like, when you care about something and you're proud of something, you're going to share it with the world. Not in, like, like, look what I'm doing, but no, the way you guys are doing this on social media is just a loving gift to everybody. Be like, hey, this is the show we created. We hope you love it as much as we do because of the great message. You can see it. Like, you guys, I mean, one of the things I know about my kids and just kids in general, like, they will know, like, if something's not authentic, if, like, if you kind of, like, trying to fake something. But, like, with now, you can kind of tell if someone's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be on the show, you should check it out. But, like, you guys actually care. Like, the whole dad joke thing that you guys were all doing, like, on social media was hilarious. And I was like, guys, because, like, again, dad jokes are also, I'm like, guys, you need to check out this thread stuff. So, again, You guys get it, and I appreciate the love and the passion you have for the show, because it definitely comes through.
Just to piggyback that point, just to thank you very much, and just to piggyback your point, I've never been on a show where every single actor on the show, as well as the writers, we all have skin in the game, meaning every actor on this show is telling their own deeply personal story layered into the story that we're all telling. It's so weird that I thought that when we started, I was like, am I on Lost? Because this is like, you know, the show Lost was about a group of strangers that were brought together by this greater force because they had something in common. And that's how it felt. It was so creepy that how much we all had something very personal to tell using this story. So,
yeah. And again, it comes through, so that's awesome. One more question before we go into the Fatherhood Quick Five. And I always kind of love, I'm a comic book geek, so I love the origin story. Take me back how you got into acting, what, you know, inspired you, and also talk to me about your first role and what you remember from it.
My uncle used to always say to me when I was a child, because I never wanted to be anything other than an actor, and I was super young telling everyone that I was going to be an actor. And my uncle used to say to me, how do you know that that's what you want to do? Because he never knew what he wanted to do as a profession. And he was always taken by that. So, yeah, I've only ever wanted to be an actor. They sat me down in front of a TV for the first time and I tried to crawl into it. I would, when no one was looking, I would go to the back of the TV and try to take it off so that I could get inside. I don't know where that comes from. It's just something that is innate in me. And my first role and my first job in life period was on The Cosby Show. I was a kid in Maryland and The Cosby Show came on and there were people who looked like me for the first time in my life. Well, that's not true. Good Times and Sanford and Son had people who looked like me, but they didn't feel like me. So when I saw The Cosby Show, I said, oh my God, I'm supposed to be on that show. I could totally be on that show. So I always noticed names coming up at the end of a show. So I said, there's got to be a name of somebody that I can call to get on The Cosby Show. So I started with the executive producer, Alvin Poussant, I think that was his name. I tried to find anybody. I called information looking for Bill Cosby's phone number. I wrote him a letter, all kind of stuff. And then finally, I noticed there was something called the casting director. And that made sense to me that that was the person. So I got his number in New York. In those days, you just dialed the area code 555-1212 and asked for a number. They gave me his number. I called his office. The receptionist answered the phone, and I said, "Hi, my name is Jamie Richards, and I want to be on The Cosby Show." And she said, "Are you kidding, kid? This is not how it works." And she hung up the phone on me. So I just kept calling back, and one day the casting director picked up the phone himself, and I said, "Hi, my name is Jamie Richards. I want to be on The Cosby Show." And he said, "Kid, what are you doing? Like, do you have an agent?" I was like, "What is that? I'm sure I could get one." And he goes, you don't know anything." So he was like, "Listen, I'm speaking at an acting camp for kids in the Catskills. You know, here's the information. Like, if you can make it up there, I'll be giving a whole talk about how to get into the business." So I asked my mom for the money. She gave it to me. I went to the camp. He gave his talk. I took notes. He asked if anybody wanted to read. I raised my hand. He called me up. I read a scene. And he was like, "Yeah, you're really good, kid. If you're ever in New York, look me up." The camp was over. I got more money from my mom. Flew up to New York on that Monday after the camp was over on Saturday. I knocked on his office door. And I said, "You said if I was ever in New York, I'd look you up." And he goes, "I didn't mean come to New York." So he said, "You know, but we just so happened to be casting Vanessa's boyfriend. Read this." I read it. He said, "Can you come back at 3 o'clock? I said, "Yes." Mind you, I'm 14 years old. My mom let me fly to New York by myself to audition. So I had to bum around New York for a few more hours, you know, call my mom on the payphone, came back at 3, read for all the producers, and ended up getting the part.
That's fantastic.
So that's my first job story.
Hands down, probably one of the best. Like, if people are like trying to like top that, I'm like, okay, good luck with that story, right? Good luck. Talk about like passion again. Just the word passion and love, and just what you want to do. Your mind was focused, man. Such an awesome story. Thanks for sharing that. I know my audience will definitely appreciate that. Cool, man. Now we got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite movie? Do you have one?
Ooh. For many years, I've said that my favorite movie is Sex, Lies, and Videotape because I saw it for the first time when I was 13, and I watched it every year after and always find something new in it. So I'll say Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Nice, man. Favorite song or artist? Do you have one?
Prince is my favorite artist. But my favorite song is probably As by Stevie Wonder.
Oh, two great artists right there. Love it.
Yeah.
Describe the perfect vacation. Where would it be, man?
Maui, for sure. Anywhere in Maui.
Nice.
Just anywhere. And I'll take any of the Hawaiian Islands, but Maui.
Nice. And as I mentioned earlier, I am a comic geek. I love the origin stories and all that. I was happy to see you play Deathlok in the MCU. I still have the action figure when I was a kid. I liked them so much that I bought two of them. I bought one to play with. And this is like in the 90s. My dad was a comic book collector. He's like, "You might want to keep one." And so I have it in my office right now. It's like the old packaging. It's still legit in there. So it was really cool to see Deathlok come to, you know, the MCU. Which superhero would you love to see Deathlok team up with in a show or movie? If they're like, "Hey, man, we're going to make a Deathlok movie," who would you love to team up with?
In the comics, Deathlok and Spider-Man were always cool together. So I'd say Spider-Man.
Nice.
Spider-Man would be good.
Very cool. And lastly, actor or director you'd love to work with on your next project would be who?
Director, David Fincher. Because he's a Virgo, we were born on the same day. He does 70 takes, and that sounds like fun to me. And then actor, I don't know. Okay, well, I would love to work with Daniel Day-Lewis, but for some reason, I feel like I'd have a lot to learn from Tilda Swinton. I don't know why, but
nice.
I feel like she has something to teach me, so I would love to work with her.
Such a great chat with you, sir. People, make sure you follow Jay on Twitter, Jay August Richards, and go to his Instagram as well, Jay August Richards. We'll put up links. And make sure you check out the show Council of Dads on NBC, and we'll put up links on where the NBC show and where you can find it. Again, loved hearing your take on your character. Loved the story about how you thought like you were kind of done with acting. This show and everything about it brought you back into it. I'm so glad for that. Loved your acting history and just like your origin story. And again, continued success with the series and in the future, sir.
Art, thank you so much for the thoughtful questions. And thank you so much for advocating for the show. We love it so much and appreciate your energy towards us. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, sir. You take care.
Thank you. Have a good day, Art.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.